Welcome to All About Brahma Kumaris. We have in the studio today with us Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. The Brahma Kumaris has been in existence for 77 years and is established in over 120 countries across the globe. And today we will be looking specifically at the subject of the Brahma Kumaris' view on the future of the world. The reason that this topic was chosen is because the Brahma Kumaris has a very distinct and, dare I say, unusual perspective or view of the future of the world, which causes quite a bit of controversy, because there's nothing in the world as we know it that supports this view. And yet the Brahma Kumaris has been perpetuating this understanding for the past 77 years, and there are over a million people across the globe who have bought into this understanding and who practice it themselves. And so the purpose of this episode is to debunk any myths that we may have regarding the future of the world and to see what BK Denise has to say on the subject. Very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
What is the vision of the new world according to the Brahma Kumaris, and from whence does it come?
Well, we work with the idea of the time cycle, and the time cycle is the Kal Chakra, the cycle of time. So the cycle of time is represented by the swastika. It's something that goes around and around and around. We talk of the ages, Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. And when the cycle rotates again, after the Kali Yuga comes again Satyuga. So, now this is not a new idea. This is to be found in Hinduism. The Mayans of Mexico have the same idea. The Buddhists have this idea. Even in the Bible, it shows the apocalypse and then the New Jerusalem. So the idea of the world undergoing violent, cataclysmic change is supported by some of the different faith traditions, a lot of the mythology, and in some cases you find people who are looking at it from a paleontological point of view, and the geology of the world indicates such things. And so you have the view of very, very slow evolutionary change, which is the preferred view of the scientific community at this time. When the Brahma Kumaris began in the 1930s, Brahma Baba, the founder, experienced a number of visions, and one of the visions he had was of nuclear bombs. And then in 1945, Hiroshima and Nagasaki occurred, and some preparations for that, some tests had also occurred, but his visions took place before they were invented. So he really did not know how to describe this, but it was very traumatic for him to see this kind of weaponry. But at the same time, in the Indian scriptures, they talk about these things, the Brahmastras, for example, where there are these huge weapons of mass destruction that are described in the myths. And scholars thought that this was an overactive imagination on the part of the ancient people. But once you started to get these things in reality, then people started to think that, well, you know, maybe something like this had happened before in the ancient times. And now we have words for it and we have images for it that are real. One of the things that we have something, a lot of concern about is the effect of climate change on the weather patterns. During the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a big increase in extreme weather patterns. A friend of mine gave me photographs of Southern California, Northern California, where he suddenly found himself in the middle of thousands of water spouts. Water spouts are very rare. A water spout is a tornado in water where the water will all of a sudden, it takes about a minute to all of a sudden this whirlwind of water, and it's very fast and they can be up to several hundred meters wide and 2 or 3 miles high, where the water just suddenly goes to the sky. It can be also small ones. And these things are happening very frequently in many different parts of the world, which has never happened before. So all sorts of changing weather patterns are happening in a much more extreme, much more intense way. So there is definitely a destabilizing in terms of human relations, in terms of weather patterns, in terms of just the stability of the sort of infrastructure of the world, human and natural. And so these, all these things were part of his visionary experiences. And then there are many explanations in the Brahma Kumaris literature and teachings where it says the present time that we are in is called the confluence age. So one cycle, golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age, is completing and another cycle is happening. And the golden age is an age where everything is very stable. The world is virgin, beautiful, and the people are beautiful and everything, a paradise, a heaven, which is also mentioned as being an ancient reality in different faith traditions and in many myths. And then also they talk about hell. And if you look at some of the descriptions in the scriptures about what happens in hell, it's there in the Quran, it's there in the Bible, it's there in the Puranas of India, it's there in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and so many of these different writings, ancient writings, where they describe hell. And then, of course, you have Dante's Inferno, which is a much more recent description. Now, if you would see what goes on in some of the war zones that are happening now, it's not very different. It's really not. And so we could say that when the world, in Brahma Kumaris, when the world is in the beginning of the cycle, population is much smaller. The relationship between people is very pure, very good. The relationship between people and the earth is good. It's a spiritually based world. We don't find that reality today. We find a diametric opposite. And what the teachings are saying is that this period of very, very negative experience where there's a lot of poverty, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of illness, there's a lot of extreme distress, all of that is going to reach a peak and finish. And the world will undergo very calamitous change. And the souls of the world will return back to their place of origin, which we call the soul world. In Hinduism, Buddhism, they speak of nirvana. Many people who are practicing their different religions, the aim of their spiritual practice is to return back to nirvana, to go to this place of light, this place of silence. And in our teachings, we call that the home, that souls, before they come to the earth, they are there, because the soul is eternal, so it has to be somewhere. And if there's an increase in population, it means souls are coming to the world and remaining there through the process of reincarnation. And this is why we have a constant increase in population. But then when it reaches a peak, then the souls will return back. They will have completed their roles on the stage of the world. You know, Shakespeare had said, we're actors, this is a stage. Then the earth will regenerate itself, renovate itself, and the new cycle will start again. Now the thing is, what's difficult is going from one cycle to the other cycle, because it's very tumultuous, very difficult to pass through. This is why we need powers. Power to face, power to be stable, power to be detached, power to be able to, you know, really see things that a human being should never have to see. It's very traumatic, some of the things that people are going through at the moment. And I think that there are many parts of the world where people are very cushioned from that. And there are other parts of the world where it's right in your face, especially in the war zones. Civil wars are taking place, civil disturbances are taking place because of poverty, because of inequity, because of many reasons. And this upheaval, this destabilization is something that we have to get through. So this is really one of the reasons why God will say, okay, this is the very difficult part of human history, so you need me to be right with you to help you get across. And this is really, I think, what Brahma Kumaris live and experience and do.
You started off your answer by saying this is the visions that the founder Prajapita Brahma had.
Yes.
Now, did you have such visions?
I have not seen visions of destruction, okay. But I have seen visions of what's coming after.
Okay. Not all people have visions.
No,
it's
rare. Certainly
not all students of the Brahma Kumaris have visions. You come to the meditation center to get some peace, to experience some relief from your stress, to feel a bit of love, to look for a higher purpose in life. One day, and then the next day or a week thereafter, you suddenly believe in the future of the world.
I don't think that you can suddenly believe in something like that.
Okay. How do you convince somebody who is not, who doesn't have visions, that this is actually... My question is, how realistic is it to believe in a future world that you believe is coming, but there's no evidence of it? Not
first of all, it's not appropriate to try and convince somebody of anything.
Okay.
So that's not an issue. You don't try and convince somebody of something. This is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. What you do is you say, okay, this is the idea. Put it in front of a person. And they say either, yeah, that makes sense. Or they say, nope, doesn't make sense. And so if the person says, nope, doesn't make sense, they say, thank you very much. And they go on their way, or they say, well, I'm not interested in this part, but I'm very interested in this other part. So you go with the part that you like. But many people, when this scenario of the confluence age and the shift over from the Iron Age to the Golden Age, they will say, which is also my case, they'll say, yeah, that makes sense. Why does it make sense? Because there are many, many things that support it that I happen to have come across before I came across Brahma Kumaris. So all of these things start fitting together. And I think this is what you find with many people who are exposed to these ideas which are very different from the run-of-the-mill ideas. They say, it fits, it figures, it corresponds with where my thinking has been going anyway, you know. And maybe there's some parts of it which don't correspond, and then you have to think about it. And I think that if you are wanting to understand yourself as an eternal and immortal soul, which is what it's really all about, then one fine day, every single one of us will leave our bodies. And so the question of preparing yourself for death comes up.
How do you do that?
Ah, this is the whole thing, you see.
Okay. I once was listening to a documentary by, Stephen Secker on BBC. Mm-hmm. And at that time, he was saying to the interviewee that the average person, average UK citizen, although empirical evidence of global warming was presented to them, at that time, up to 2/3 of UK citizens refused to believe that global warming was an actual phenomena and the world was threatened by it. Mm. He asked the interviewee, why is this the case? Now, I'm asking you the same question. We're presenting this idea, which is mind-blowing to the average person watching this program, and yet the Brahma Kumaris live it as if it's just around the corner. It's as if it's inevitable. Okay, mm-hmm. How do you? The average person will find that so difficult to believe.
Yeah.
The reason for this is there's such an inherent belief in almost every human being on the planet that Mother Earth will always be there for me as it is now. I will die, but Mother Earth will live on. Okay? Now, you're saying...
I'm not saying that Mother Earth will not live on.
Okay, but what you're saying is that there's going to be a massive transformation.
Yeah.
And my house may not be here.
Your house tomorrow. May not be here tomorrow.
And even would this house be there tomorrow?
Well, definitely. Yes. The physical is temporary.
So isn't this a shock to the system to believe such a thing?
Well, why is that so much news?
It's a shock to the system to buy into such an idea. And it causes all sorts of upsets inside one, because it's like telling somebody, the sun has been shining for a very long time, but tomorrow there will be no sun.
I don't think that's what we're saying. The sun is going to carry on shining.
Okay.
You know, the conventional scientific view is 14 million years in the past, there was a big bang and all of a sudden matter appeared, which is a whole lot more incredible than what I'm saying.
Yes, and then, but it's a question of... that's what they believe, that's what they shared, and the people are somehow more comfortable with that than what you just said.
But if you look at what scientists are talking about today, they say that's not possible. Matter cannot spontaneously appear. And as Einstein had said, matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So there is a lot of scientific discussion about this, and to go in the other direction, you know, in another 14 million years, there'll be another big bang, and that'll be that, the end of humanity. What Brahma Kumaris are saying is that humanity is continuous. The earth is continuous, and there is a slow degeneration that takes place over time, and every so often there is rapid change. And then it continues to move in a slow change. So in the cycle, which is a 5,000-year cycle, there are two periods of time where there is this rapid change. And you know, one of the aspects of a global warming is that the ice sheets are melting. Right now the Northwest Passage is open, and so there's a lot of discussion among the economic powers as to who will claim the benefit of the Arctic, you know, because now you can actually, you know, for example, just recently in Greenland, the ice has melted to such an extent that now it's feasible to mine the vast reservoirs of iron ore that are there, and which was not possible before.
And possibly a few ships through there.
Ships can move through. So now it has been said that if this the ice sheet on Greenland melts, the sea level will rise 7 meters. And so a lot of the coastal cities will be drowned by that. Now, if the Arctic ice sheet melts, the sea will rise 30 meters, you see. And so, you know, you may be inland, but you'll find yourself on beachfront property. You know,
that's so, not funny to the average citizen. It's here's my question.
But most of the people in the world live on large coastal cities. And so it is a matter of concern. In London, where I live in London, there is a real problem of the rising levels because London is now subject to flooding. It has huge flood defense systems, but which are not adequate for what happens if there's a big storm surge, there's a big Atlantic storm.
Which is ironically happening at the moment.
At the very moment. There's just been a huge storm that they say is a freak storm. It's never happened quite like this before. We don't really understand what the weather is doing. So, of course, it's having a huge impact on agriculture. Much of the harvest in the world this year has been destroyed, which means, and I go quite often to Rome to visit the World Food Organization, the agency from the UN, and they are saying that there is a very serious food crisis. And within the foreseeable future, there will be massive starvation because of the disruption in the weather. The food supplies are just not going to be able to provide for the needs. And when people are in conditions of famine, this creates a great deal of civil unrest. And so that's very unstable. And so you have to deal with that. In United States, after the hurricane that affected 1 year ago, that affected New Jersey, the disaster, the repairing of it hasn't happened. People are still, and that's in the United States, the money isn't available to look after the people who've been damaged because there's been too many disasters too frequently, and the fund, the FEMA fund, is depleted. So the government isn't able to help people. And so people are finding themselves in situations that they really didn't expect, and this creates confusion, you see. So in Brahma Kumaris, whenever we encounter anything, whether it happens to us on a small level personally or on a large level, we will find ourselves saying, yeah, we've been told about this. And so it doesn't come as such a shock. We find ourselves making our lives in such a way that, you know, we expect there to be difficulties. We plan ahead for it. We make ourselves more resilient to be able to deal with small or large difficulties. And we find that that makes our lives a lot easier.
If somebody does buy into the understanding of the future, the world as we know it will transform from the Iron Age into the Golden Age, and that will mean that the world as we know it won't exist as it is for much longer.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate natural human reaction is one of, oh my God, is fear.
Yes.
It's fear. How do you help people allay this fear? There is a percentage of the world, obviously, who know the inevitable, who sense massive change. They don't have to be scientifically minded at all.
No.
There's spiritual people, religious people, academics, students, young, old, across the globe, who just know what's that the proverbial pawpaw's about to hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
What does one say to them to allay the fear? Because the first question is, what's going to happen to me?
What's going to happen to me? Yes. And I think that there are some countries of the world who are very protected from information. They just don't have information. They are told by the media or whatever that everything is fine. And information that could be very helpful for them is just denied to them with the idea that if you don't know, then it's not going to trouble you. And so then a person in that situation, it's a very big shock when it does come. You know, there's been a lot of financial catastrophe happening, especially in the United States, which is the wealthiest country in the world, and all of the world's economy is tied really to what happens in the US. And just recently, when the government shut down due to debt of trillions of dollars, China became very concerned because its economy is directly affected. And so there was a real scary moment there. You know, the Fannie Mae and all of this mortgage and derivatives and financial scandals happened. A lot of people lost their whole life's savings, you see. And these things happen as a shock. Now, if you have an idea, and I personally try to monitor all the things that are going on so that, you know, I'm really not under illusions about this. And then the question arises, as you rightly say, what's going to happen to me? So then you say, okay, me the soul or me the body? So me the soul, anyway, the soul is immortal. That means I have to go through it, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or what, but I must go through it. So I have to be powerful, I have to be stable, I have to be aware of what I am as a spiritual being. Physically, there will be change, but spiritually, the soul, it says in the Gita, the soul cannot be burnt or drowned or cut or, you know, and this is ancient text from thousands of years. So anybody who reads the Gita knows this, but do you identify with the soul? Very many people don't. You identify with the body, and the body is affected by physical things. The soul is also affected by physical things, but the soul's existence is not destroyed by physical disasters. The soul persists, there's continuity. And I think it's very helpful for people to really start thinking about the continuity of their soul and then ways in which they can actually make the soul powerful, make the mind powerful, have your emotional temperature very stable and steady as you pass through any kind of difficulty, which could be emotional, like you mentioned earlier. You have to handle stress, you have to handle death of loved ones, you have to handle unexpected loss, all of these things. The more you are empowering yourself, giving yourself time and energy to strengthen yourself, the better off you are. I remember I was in a massive earthquake in Los Angeles maybe 97, 98, something like that. And, you know, many, many buildings were coming down. People were really scared. And what happened? They came to us with this kind of intuitive feeling that let's go to the Brahma Kumaris because it's safe over there. Now, why did they think that? I don't know, but it was safe.
The building, the structure?
Some of it came down, but and there were many, many aftershocks, you know. But the thing is, the atmosphere in the Brahma Kumaris, because we know all these things, because we know how to have yoga, the atmosphere was very peaceful. And I think it was that that gave them the feeling of safety. Mm. You know?
That's a lovely note in which to end today's episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The future of the world, according to the Brahma Kumaris, is that the earth will remain as is, but the contents thereof will undergo transformation, and the what is known as the Iron Age will come to an end, and the future Golden Age will dawn. The view of the Brahma Kumaris by Sister Denise. We thank you and for today's sharing, and we look forward to seeing all viewers again for the next episode. Thank you and good day.